And now the game where we invite experts from one field on to answer questions about something completely unrelated. It's called Not My Job. Now, Bob Lutz says that when he was a child, he had three ambitions: to be a fighter pilot, to be a race car driver, and to be an automobile executive. In a long and distinguished career, he has done all three. He's worked all over. He is currently the vice chairman of General Motors. Bob Lutz, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I want to confirm that A, that story is true, that you did have those three ambitions, and B, that you have in fact done all three.
That is true. And I'm hoping that I was best at the third one.
Really, the automobile executive.
Of course, all fighter pilots. If you have to ask who the world's best fighter pilot is, it means it isn't you.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about the fighter pilot thing, because you served in the military, flying.
U.S. Marine Corps.
U.S. Marine Corps. You're flying fighters from the Marines. And you currently own one or two jet fighters.
Yeah, that was one of the great advantages of the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1990. No, seriously, I mean, we say to the victor go the spoils, and they had all these surplus military airplanes, and they put them on the market, and a former fighter pilot was able to fulfill the dream of buying basically a frontline military aircraft for less than you pay for a nice Ferrari.
Really?
One of the great investment mistakes of my life, Peter. I had a backyard full of them. Who knew the thing was going to collapse? Market went down. I lost my shirt on my Soviet fighter plane. Yeah.
So how many do you currently have?
Two.
You have two fighter jets.
Yeah, one Czech-built former East Bloc and one German Air Force.
You know, it occurs to me that the other car companies, your Toyotas, your Hyundais, might have a lot of things there, but they don't have an Air Force, and you do. And maybe you could leverage that to your advantage in the automotive industry. You could actually, instead of trying to compete with them, you could simply strafe them.
Yes, unfortunately, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has seen to it that these aircraft are fully demilitarized.
Oh, it's a shame. Oh. Let's talk about your career in the automotive industry. You have worked, my understanding is, for all three major American car companies, plus, of course, BMW.
Yeah, I'm cycling through them again, actually.
Really?
Because I'm with GM for the second time now.
Yeah, you came back to GM after having left at least the senior management position in the auto industry. And that you were running another company, and then they said, "We need you back, Bob." Did they have to lure you? Did they have to entice you?
Not real hard, because I really wanted to get back in the business. In fact, I didn't want to retire at 66, and they pushed me out of Chrysler because the mandatory retirement age was 65. Why that? Because Iacocca wouldn't leave, and they said, "We're never going to let that happen again." And then GM hired me when I was 70, and at the press conference that where they announced it, one of the journalists said to Rick Wagner, "Mr. Wagner, how can this be consistent with GM's 65 and out policy?" And Rick, being very fast on his feet, thought for a minute and said, "It's true. You must retire from GM at age 65 maximum, but we checked all our policies, and there's none that says we can't hire 70-year-olds.
Now, I understand that among the many cars you've successfully brought to production, you did have a little bit of trouble with the Buick LaCrosse.
Well, let's put it this way. The name was contentious in the French part of Canada.
Right. The LaCrosse in French Canada is a slang, a sort of off-color slang term.
Allegedly, although there are, you know, I think we were taken for a ride because we got these protest letters out of Canada saying that it was vernacular for
a form of self-entertainment, let's say.
Yes. One of the languages I speak is French, having grown up in Switzerland, and I've never heard this expression. I've heard about 17 others in French.
Right. Just like, in fact, last I checked the dictionary, you're credited with coining four of them. So.
I think so. But there's numerous towns in Canada by the name of LaCrosse. The sport exists in Canada, and yet there seems to be some subculture in the Montreal area or in Quebec someplace where... And it got the Chrysler, or it got the GM Canada guys all exercised and said, "Oh my God, we can't possibly call it Buick LaCrosse." So, And for Canada, it got a perfume name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Allure.
That doesn't sound like a good, aggressive American car.
I hate it.
Well, Bob Lutz, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I'm not going to leave the house. Something might happen.
All right. As established, you're a fighter pilot, car fanatic, world traveler. Great. So we thought we would ask you three questions about people who never like to leave the house at all. Answer two of these questions, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Bob Lutz playing for?
Bob is playing for Carol Collins of Ann Arbor.
All right. First question. One of the great eccentrics and homebodies was classical pianist Glenn Gould, a brilliant concert performer who didn't very much like performing. In fact, once he wrote a manifesto demanding what? A, that all audiences be seated facing away from the stage so the performer would not be distracted by their faces. B, that instead of him having to come to a concert hall, it would be better if just one person would agree to pay $500,000 to listen at the performer's home. Or C, that all audiences be forbidden from applauding or making any noise of any kind.
Those all sound equally compelling.
Yes.
But I can't. There's no all of the above
no,
at the bottom.
No, one, only one. Yeah. That I know of.
You must choose one of the big three.
Which may someday become all of the above.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, the one about instead of him having to come and pay for all these people, that one person would come to his house, pay him $500,000.
Yeah.
Same effect. No, I'm afraid the answer was C. He wanted to forbid audiences from applauding. He wrote a manifesto called GPAADAK, the Gould Plan for the Abolition of Applause and Demonstrations of All Kinds. Apparently, applause or any kind of noise from the audience just made him nuts.
I used to do some shows in New York that Glenn Gould would have loved.
Next question. Thomas Pynchon is a famously reclusive writer. He has not been photographed, filmed, or recorded on tape in decades, with one exception. What was that exception? A, in 1985, he called in to do one period of color commentary at a New York Islanders hockey game. B, on two occasions, he played himself on the TV show The Simpsons. Or C, he was photographed wearing elaborate makeup, sunglasses, and a wig at a New York Fashion Week runway show.
I'll pick A on that.
You're going to pick A?
Yeah.
That he called in and just did a period of color commentary on a hockey game.
I'll change it to C.
Is this the kind of decisiveness that you're bringing to GM?
Yeah, I call it I'm willing to listen.
All right. No, that's good. All right. I like that. So your answer is C, the New York Fashion Week runway show. He was photographed there.
That's my pick, yes.
All right. Actually, it was B. He played himself in The Simpsons. Last question. Just this week, a man in Beijing, China, was arrested for doing what in the privacy of his own home? A, operating a coal mine. B, negotiating a peace treaty with Taiwan. Or C, playing the computer game World of Warcraft 22 hours a day.
I'll do C on that one.
You're going to say C. That he was arrested because he was sitting around playing World of Warcraft 22 hours a day.
Yep. I'll stick with it.
You're going to stick with
saying? And do none for three.
All right. Actually, he was operating a coal mine. The man had bought the house because it was right next to an operating coal mine, and then he dug down and a little over and got to work. So, Carl, how did Bob Lutz do in our quiz?
Well, he achieved what he wanted at the end, Peter. No correct answers. Mm-hmm. So no prize for Carol Collins.
My apologies.
Let me ask you one last question before I let you go. Because, a lot of people are car nuts, and a lot of people fantasize about their perfect car. And you actually have maybe a chance to do that. What would your perfect car be? Or does it already exist?
It existed in concept form at the Detroit Auto Show, and it's called the Chevrolet Volt.
With Chevrolet what?
Volt.
Volt.
Yeah, and I think we're actually going to put it into production. I had a review of it. We're working with lithium-ion battery companies. The goal is to have 40-mile range on battery power alone, and then have an internal combustion engine kick in like an emergency generator in case you run out of juice. So for the average trip per day, if you do 60 miles a day, you'll be on battery for 40 and boosted by the gasoline engine for 20. Your average fuel economy would be 151 miles per gallon. And this is now what I'm more excited about than I was about the Dodge Viper or anything we've ever done. I think this can bring about the revolution and really make us independent of foreign oil and solve all the other problems.
And not only that, there'll be more gas left over for your fighter jets. Because what kind of mileage do they get is what I'm wondering.
I'm not saying.
Bob Lutz is a legend in the auto industry. He is currently the vice chairman for General Motors. He even contributes to the GM blog, fastland.gmblogs.com. Bob Lutz, thank you so much for joining us here today.